You don't have to be a fashionista or a stylist to have style and feel good in what you wear. The point of today's episode isn't to make you a fashion icon, although I believe you can be one. The point is to burn down this ideology we have that clothes and accessories are just for people interested in fashion. It's really a tool for all of us to express who we are and how we want to be interpreted. This is Bitch Out of Water, a show about trying new things and by trial and error becoming more perfectly ourselves. So today I'm going to be sharing 9 golden rules of style in the hopes that you become more perfectly you. I'm Steph Sabraw, joined by my favorite humans, Roxy Schreier.
Hello to my fashion guru, Steph. You're the one who I borrow all my clothes from and get all my lessons from, so I can't wait to get more today.
Hell yeah, I love you. And Dorina.
Hola, hola. Always happy to be here with my ladies, regardless of the craziness of life. And the thing about the three of us is that when Roxy and Steph talk fashion, I sometimes tune out. So as much as they think that, or they try to say that I have somewhat good fashion sense, I'm excited to learn about Steph here because she looks freaking amazing every day of her life.
What are you going to do today, Dee? Are you going to tune out?
No, I can't because this is my job, lady.
Yeah, you better be tuned the fuck in. This is for everyone, not just people who are so-called interested in fashion, okay? Are we ready? These are the 9 rules of style by Stees. Number 1. Most things in life we can't control. So without gripping for dear life, we can at least try to control the controllables. What you wear and how you wear it is something we can control. Use that. Number 2, style is timeless while fashion is timely. Someone who is fashionable closely follows the latest fashion trends, while someone who is stylish may or may not follow the fashion trends, but they always stay true to their own aesthetic. So what I'm saying is you can be stylish just by being you. Fuck what everyone else is wearing, worry about you and who you are, and then the style will come. Number 3, eliminate the idea that it takes too much time and you're too lazy to be stylish. It takes the same amount of time to put on a shirt you feel like a 10 in than it does to put on a shirt you feel like a 6 in. Put on the outfit that makes you feel like a 10 and stop using this as an excuse because it's not real. I promise you your day will feel better when you feel like a 10. Number 4. You are engaging in one of the strongest forms of nonverbal communication, whether you like it or not. I don't have to say a single word when I walk into a room, and you will get an idea of what my mood and intention is that day, as well as a pretty good idea of my personality. Without saying a single word, that's power. And that's power we should all be using and that we all can be using. Number 5, don't buy or keep anything you don't feel cute in. This is such a universal mistake that we all do. I'm talking about all the shirts you've kept from college and high school that you wear when you're feeling tired and frumpy. You know what's going to make you feel more tired and frumpier? Putting on that weathered down shirt that has your hometown slogan. Put it in a bag and take it to Goodwill. From your dresses to your PJs to your underwear. Do not purchase or keep it if you don't feel great in it. I don't care if no one sees me in my pajamas. I see me in my pajamas. Why not be a cute, sleepy bitch? Trust me, I love a baggy tee to sleep in, but I promise you I'm in a baggy tee that I fuck with. I don't keep anything I don't like, and it can be comfortable and still cute. Number 6, fashion is like art. Compare a blank canvas with a single black stroke to a canvas covered in paint from corner to corner, depicting the most colorful and textured landscape. Guess what? Both can be amazing, and both are saying a lot. While different, they are both saying something. Ask yourself every day, what are you saying? What's your outfit saying? And what are you saying about yourself through that outfit? Take Steve Jobs. This guy wore the same outfit every single day to work. A simple black turtleneck, jeans, and white shoes. He started wearing this trademark outfit because he fell in love with uniforms when visiting Japan in the early 80s. He felt that uniforms provided a sense of unity and community, so he adopted the look for himself. He originally wanted the entire office to do so, but none of them did, but he kept the look for himself. People often think it's because he didn't care about fashion that he would wear the same outfit every day, but it's clear to me that he cared a lot. He used it the way that we all should, to say something. Number 7, find the items you feel great in and do more of that. Think about what you have in your closet that you feel good in. What is the material, the cut, the design? Get more of that. If there's nothing in your closet you can think of that does this for you, let's start with getting a few pieces. Consider your body shape, your favorite colors, your skin tone, your daily activities, and most importantly, your personality. If you need inspiration, Pinterest is a great start. But also think about who are some people who have similar body types to you or people whose fashion that just inspires you. What are they wearing? How can you put some of those items into your own closet? If the cuts and colors seem too cool to you, start to emulate it until you can start picking for yourself. Style doesn't happen overnight, but it can form day by day by just taking a few risks. Number 8, push yourself out of your comfort zone. I hear people complain all the time about how they hate their clothes and they don't know how to dress. A lot of times those same people are too scared to try new styles, which I get. We all feel fear. Most of the time it's an involuntary response, but we can push ourselves to acknowledge the fear and decide to do something anyways. Change your relationship to fear and you can change your style. And by doing this, you might just change your relationship to fear in more areas of your life than just what you're wearing. It doesn't need to be a huge makeover in one day. It can be gradual changes in new styles and looks that are implemented slowly over time in the way that makes you feel comfortable, but also pushes you a little bit out of your comfort zone. And finally, number 9, having your own style makes you a better person. I know this sounds weird, but judgment of others cannot coexist in the same space as your own self-expression and the ability to be free to express. And what I mean by that is pushing our own selves to express through style. We hope that in the best case scenario, we're received by others with welcome looks and compliments if we're lucky. And by the worst case scenario, all we can hope for is that people just aren't mean to us. Because judging someone's outfit or look, especially when they're pushing themselves and it's clear that they're trying to push themselves, is really fucking corny. When you walk outside with a look you love or something that you just wanted to wear, that takes a lot of courage that I think people don't realize. So don't ever knock someone down for being courageous. You can't allow yourself to self-express and at the same time judge or bring down others. It's really contradictory, and you'll know what I'm talking about when you start to wear something. The more that I started to self-express through my fashion, the more that I realized how scary it can be and how I would never want someone else to judge me for what I put on. So I don't do that when I see someone else that is saying something through their fashion, if that makes sense. And those are just a start to my 9 style by Stee's golden rules.
I feel like that should be the name of your eventual clothing line. Stee's style. Yeah. Okay. So many great nuggets in here. And I have so many follow-up questions. Just going back to your first one, or maybe second one, about it taking too much time. So it was interesting you mentioned Steve Jobs, because I know that he always talked about the reason he wore the same thing every day is that he didn't want to have to have any brain capacity go to what he was wearing. And so by already knowing what he was wearing, he could put all of his brain capacity into his job and, you know, creating that next iPad and shit like that. So I think that for me, one of my biggest time consuming things isn't just literally putting on the clothes, but it's opening up my closet and finding 2 pieces that go together, which is when I end up wearing one piece that I don't like, because at least it matches the other piece that I do like. And it is really time consuming for me. So when you say it's not time consuming, how can I make it be less time consuming when picking out an outfit is like unbelievably time consuming?
Yeah, I think some days it takes me longer than the next. But like when you start with a question of what do you want to say today, that helps you narrow it down. So if I have, let's say, a meeting with a corporation that is gonna sponsor me, whatever it is. So I know that I'm meeting with corporate people, but I know that I want to be myself and I want to say that something about my personality. So I'll probably go to like what's like business casual in my closet and then goes with what my theme of the day is. And I narrow it down from there. I think like having also outfits or shirts that are like all the time look good, just go with that if you're having one of those days where you can't decide. Because I have those days and I'm like, okay, I know that I love this white ribbed tank with plain jeans and my sneakers. I know that's going to look good and I know it's simple and I don't have to think about it. I can pair it with gold hoops if I'm feeling a little bit spicier. But just having something in your closet, a few pieces that you know looks good and doesn't take time to think about is helpful. But what I really meant by that is that, like, I think a lot of times people think it takes longer to wear something cute than it does to wear something that's not cute and or to them. And that's the part that I'm talking about with time. Like, I think putting things together takes time. I agree with that for sure, Rox. But, like, choosing something is choosing something. So like if you're choosing something you don't feel good in, that takes the exact same amount of time to choose something that you do feel good in. It doesn't need to be the most fashionable outfit of the day, but at least you feel good in it.
Right. Like if it's going to take the same amount of time, you might as well have something take time that you then when you walk out of your house, you're like, I'm glad I spent 20 minutes on this.
Yeah,
I get that. I also think another part that takes people a lot of time is the actual shopping for things, which is something that I want to get into a little bit because that for me is a huge challenge, especially with the increase of online shopping and having kind of a weird body myself with that not working. How long when you are going shopping do you put on the clock for yourself? Like what is a good amount of time to be like, I'm going to look for new items of clothing today?
So if I'm online shopping, I usually wouldn't do more than 90 minutes. If I'm shopping at a mall with multiple shops, then I would probably allot 3 to 4 hours. But approach it like going to the grocery store. When you go to the grocery store and you don't know what you want to buy for the week or the weeks that you're cooking, or you go into the grocery store high, it is so overwhelming because you think you want everything. You don't know what you want. Then you start thinking about the recipes you want to put together. Then you start Googling what you need in those recipes. And then it takes so much longer. So don't overwhelm yourself. Start with like, today I really want to get a pair of jeans. Think about what kind of style of jeans do I want to wear? I see that the wide leg cut is really in. I would like to try that on my body. I don't like boxy, so maybe I want it a little tighter on the waist and it goes out on the legs. Then you can start, especially online shopping, we'll have narrowed down. A lot of websites will have like jeans, baggy jeans, mom jeans, whatever it may be, or you can type those in to look at it. Or when you go to a store, you're gonna say, you could say, I'm really looking for wide leg cut jeans. Where do I start? And they'll take you there. As opposed to you being like, I'm going to make my entire closet fucking dope today. Let's go. Then you're going to leave miserable because no one can change your entire closet in a day. Just start by one item or a few items.
So for people like me that hate shopping, right? Like I hate going to the mall. It is one of the worst places in the world.
Darina's face when you said 3 to 4 hours, that face is now ingrained in my mind.
I gotta see it when I see it.
The way she panicked when she heard 3 to 4 hours was incredible. She was taken aback.
No.
But that's me who loves clothes. Like I would say if you don't, there's a way you can be in and out in an hour.
Okay, because that's kind of what I do when I do have to do that, you know, because I will wait either... The reasons I go shopping personally is because I don't find something online. Like Roxy said, it is very hard to find things online because you don't know what it's going to look like.
It's oversaturated too.
Yeah. So it's nicer to like actually like look in the mirror and see like, okay, like I can buy this because this looks good. But I only go because either my body has changed and things don't fit as well as they did or as perfectly as they did because I either gained or lost weight or some of the clothing just is old. And like you said, I don't want to be wearing, you know, my high school t-shirt. So I go for necessity. And because sometimes my closet looks like Wednesday Addams' closet and a lot of stuff is black, even though you guys, you know, sometimes see me in some color. But when I go shopping, I really like going to like one store, you know, whatever it is, like Nordstrom or whatever, that section that I can go specifically, I need new jeans, and then I go in and out. So for people like me, Steph, that don't really like doing it, what would you suggest? Also for people like me that I have gotten a little bit of a better sense of style for myself throughout the last year. But like a lot of our audience members, it's very easy to wear a t-shirt from like a fandom that you love, right? Like I'm wearing a Jennifer's Body horror t-shirt right now and jeans, right? So like, I love what you said in your 8th tip about kind of coming out of your comfort zone and not being afraid of that. And I love that because this is the last couple of years that I've actually been wearing like animal prints and things like that that I never wore before. And I'm mixing and matching that stuff with my horror t-shirts or tank tops, right? So like, what would you suggest outside of that for people like me that don't love shopping and that are very comfortable just picking up just like a shirt and jeans every day?
I would say that if you love wearing a shirt and jeans every day, that's awesome. Wear a shirt and jeans every day, but find the shirts you like. There's so many cuts of shirts, and find the types of jeans you like. And so when you know that, I would get a lot of that. Some people want more of a monolithic type closet, and that's really great. Like, I think some people can wear a black tank and black cargo pants every day and it'd be sick if that's like who they are and what they want to say every day. I love graphic tees. I wear graphic tees myself. I think that's a great way to give some of your personality and use nonverbal communication, like I was saying, because if you're wearing the Jennifer's Body tee, I know that you like horror and you probably think Megan Fox is sexy like the rest of us. And that's cool. Like, I get this idea. Dorina, you can't see her if you're listening to the podcast, but you know pretty instantly her personality, which I've always loved about her style, is that she doesn't think it's good style, but I'm telling you it is great because she's found cuts and looks that look great for her and minimize the time it takes. So I think, like, you don't know, but you're already applying your own rules, which are great. Like, you know what you like, so do that. Like, especially if you like graphic tees, that's actually way easier to do online. But don't go online and say graphic tees if you want to minimize time. If you want to minimize time, think about the type of graphic tee you want. Do you want a Black Panther tee, or do you want a t-shirt that talks about popcorn if that's your favorite food? I don't know, but Google that so that you can look that up, find that easier so you don't take the time. Because the more time you take, the more frustrated you're going to feel, and then the least satisfaction and will you are going to have to come back to trying to have more of your own style implemented to your daily looks.
Do you guys do Tee Fury ever? Just a hot tip for anybody who loves graphic tees and doesn't want the same one that everybody else has. There's this website, TEEFURY. No, they're not our sponsor. I just know about this because my brother's obsessed with graphic tees too. And they do this thing where every day you can only buy it for one day. And it's different artists that will design different graphic tees. So I'll check it like a few times a week and see if there's one that I like, because I, like you guys both, love wearing a graphic tee, but I do not like wearing a graphic tee that is the same graphic tee every other person has. Mm-hmm. You guys know the ones I'm talking about. Like, everybody that has the same Star Trek, Star Wars, DC, whatever, totally, graphic tee, and it's just normal.
Yeah, like everybody has like the Rolling Stones logo, like things like that.
Exactly, as opposed to like there's cool artists that make graphic tees.
100%. Like, if you look on Etsy or Society 6, those are all individual businesses and small owned businesses that have their own designs that are a unique take on something that you're not going to find on Amazon or Walmart or Target.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple other things, Steph, that you mentioned. For me, the question that I am always super curious about is like, what do I have to spend money on and what do I not? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes with the world of fast fashion, which is that term for the stores that the quality is not well done, they just make it fast and it kind of looks like designer clothes, but it's really crappy material and not well done, lasts like 2 days. What are the staples that you, or the things you need to be like, okay, I'm going to spend $100 on this thing? And what are the things that you can get away with being like, this is $12 and I'm going to buy it?
For sure. I think this is a great question, because I think often when we're talking about style and fashion, it can sound elitist and really commercial and money oriented. And I by no means am trying to say that at all. Like, I don't think you need a lot of money at all if any, like you can trade with your friends. I use all of my friends' clothes. I use both of Roxy and Dorina's clothes. I use my roommate Haley's clothes so that I'm not buying fast fashion and that I can just switch around things. Like that should have been another rule of mine. Like, borrow your friend's clothes. You don't need to buy yourself new clothes every single day. But if you do want to buy staple items, like Roxy was saying, I do think that if you have the money to invest in a few staple items, that's great. I think that having a pair, depending what your climate is, if you're in cold weather, having a nice pair of leather boots that are real, genuine leather are great. They're expensive, but they will last you forever. Roxy and I were just talking about how, and Dorina, we all have Docs that we've kept for years. I think Roxy's had hers for a decade, and they still work, and they're still great. And they were $150, which is expensive. That's 10 years, though, of use.
Yeah, I mean, I was not able to afford Docs when I was a kid, but I got my first pair as an adult, and I've been wearing them like Roxy forever, and they're still there. And I can literally wear my Docs with not just my, you know, t-shirts and jeans, but dresses, and they look awesome.
Yeah.
Cool thing about leather shoes too is sometimes the more you wear them, the better they look.
Totally.
That worn in look that's like, ooh, that girl's been wearing those shoes.
Yeah. And then I also think pants are nice to have a nicer pair of jeans, especially, and some like a leather pant. I feel like having a few nice staple items in your closet that you'll wear with a lot of different things, like a nice pair of jeans that like you love how your ass looks in them, or you just feel comfortable and stretchy in and they just fit you right, and they might be like $100, but jeans will last a really long time if you wash them well. Wash them inside out too. That helps keep the front from wearing. And then I would say tops are, I think, are a little more expendable, but having like a nice tank that you will wear on those days that you don't really feel like thinking about it is great. And then accessories are always nice. Having a nice pair of gold and silver hoops or earrings or studs elevates any look and is better than having a pair of fake gold. Not that it's bad. I have fake gold earrings too, but they do rust in like 3 weeks if you wear them a lot. So if you want to invest in a nice pair of earrings that you could wear every day, that's great.
I'm so upset we didn't do this episode when I started buying my fake gold hoops that I've now bought 15 pairs of.
15 pairs of that you could have bought one.
I know. But now I feel like I'm in too deep. I've spent what it would have cost me already. I've gone too far. What do you think about fashion rules, Steph? When you're talking about jeans, I was thinking about how I always heard you're supposed to wear light in the daytime, dark at night, like color-wise, especially when it comes to jeans. Is that true?
No, I don't think that's true at all. I feel like it's hard to really explain, but when you look at yourself in the mirror, I think you can get a subconscious understanding if it feels like you're in the vibe of what you're about to do. A night vibe is different than a day vibe. That doesn't mean colors necessarily. I think if you're wearing light wash jeans, then maybe pair it with a darker tone top or like a leather top or something that's a little bit more nighttimey. And like, yeah, so I wear light color jeans out all the time, but what I won't do is wear light color jeans with white sneakers and a white tank. To me, that screams daytime because I'm wearing all light from up to bottom, including sneakers. Even if you elevated that with white, like heeled boots, that would be a little bit different. I think maybe I would wear that at night. But like, look at every item. Are all of them daytimey? Are all of them nighttimey? And then you can kind of catch the vibe. But I don't think like anything is not for one thing. I think it's like those rules were made for A, control, but B, I think on the positive side, to make people's lives easier. Like if you know dark tone is for night, that might help you narrow down your options. And if you know light tones are for the day, that might help you pick out your daytime outfits more. And I think it's more the idea that literally the light is out. So when the light's out, we think light colors. When it's night out, we think dark colors. I think a lot of that's like subconscious psychology.
Going off of Roxy's question, I don't know if these are necessarily fashion rules, but I do hear a lot of people talk about don't mix brown and black or this, you know, animal print with this other type of pattern or whatever. So what do you think of that? Because I've seen you wear all kinds of weird shit together and I'm like, I don't know how she mixes and matches this. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I am notorious for mixing patterns and colors and tones. I think that it took me a while to decide how I was going to do that. I still change how I do it every single day. And so I don't think that there's a clear rule for it. I think you can kind of get an idea of what you like or don't like, but try to examine it from a non-biased standpoint. Like, we've grown up hearing things like black and brown don't mix, or velvet and silk don't mix, or polka dots and stripes don't mix. And maybe sometimes they don't, but maybe sometimes they do. And if it feels like the colors are in the same, I kind of go with like palettes. If it feels like the colors are in the same palette, like let's say I'm wearing like a brown and white pinstripe pants and I have a black leather top that has maybe some tan in it, or it's just black and I want to wear black shoes. So I'm kind of, I try, if there's a color that's out of the mix of the rest of the colors you're wearing, I try to pair it with shoes or an accessory that pulls that color in. So if I'm wearing nothing with white but my shoes, then I'll wear a white purse. And it's kind of like this trial and error of what looks good or doesn't look good. But when you put something on, go with your first instinct. Does it look kind of, feel kind of weird? Then it probably is kind of weird. I'll even ask them sometimes, does this look weird? And usually when I ask that, I kind of already know the answer, that it might not look as good as I thought. But sometimes when you're like, it's kind of weird, but I like it. It probably works for whatever reason.
What are good color combos?
I think classic black and white is great together. Life imitates itself, you know, like style imitates life, or imitates life. And so if you're in the forest and greens are looking really beautiful with the brown tree trunks, greens and browns look really fucking great together too in clothes. And blues look really great with tans too, because you're getting like the sand and the water. I know that sounds really fucking weird, but I'm telling you, if you look at life and what looks beautiful to you, you can put that in your own clothing. I think that jeans really look good with any color. So if you have jeans, you can pair it with any color top and you can try to match the shoes to that. I think that reds and pinks look good together. I think that and maroon in the same family, maroons and light pinks look good together. It's like if you look at those same color palettes and move across, then they probably still look good together.
Okay, when you say reds and pinks, I always think about this because I don't love reds and pinks together because I think of Valentine's Day. I don't love orange and black together because I think of Halloween. I don't like black and yellow together sometimes because it makes me think of a bumblebee. Not that I don't like those things, but just when I see them on people immediately, I'm like, bitches in Valentine's, you know?
Yeah.
Is that a fashion rule or just like a personal thing?
I don't know if it's a fashion rule, but I definitely agree with you. And I think everyone listening feels you. Like, I think anytime anyone has worn black or and orange together, someone says something like, you look like Halloween. It's like, we can't help it as humans, but to associate patterns with each other, it's literally the way our brain works, is by patterns. So I think that if it is so intertwined with a holiday or a thing, it's probably good to stay away from that. But sometimes it doesn't look like that. And I think that the way that you can do that is by, a black can look good with a lighter yellow, but a black with a B color yellow, I'm talking about the bright yellow that everyone knows what I'm talking about, that will be harder to work together. Unless you are truly trying to be like a B, which I've seen people do and it looks cool. Like I've seen like, but sometimes, you know, throwing in a third color changes everything. So if you want to wear black and yellow together, or you have black pants that have yellow and it's like kind of like it only will look good with a yellow, put white somewhere. And then you're kind of breaking it up so it's not just black and yellow. Now you have black, yellow, and white. That's not a bumblebee.
Word. So I have questions about just your own personal influences and things like that, Steph. But the last question about mixing and matching, what about fabrics? Because I know nothing about fabrics. I'm just like, I think this is silk and I think this is, you know, cotton. So do you have any tips on that?
Dee, when she said velvet and silk don't go together, and I was like, I had no idea. I never even heard that. That's the first for me.
Well, it might. I'm okay. So all these rules are really loose. Like I really do. I wear black and brown all the time together. And I know that people don't like that. I like it. And it's okay for me to do that. So like when I say these things, it's like these are general rules of thumbs that might help you if you don't want to think about it too much. But in terms of fabrics, I don't know exactly how to describe what doesn't or does go together. But I know that sometimes it just clashes because it's so very different and they're not complementing each other. It's like having a wine and a beer at the same time. Like, it's just not great, but like having wine and cheese is a vibe. That's a really far-fetched example. But I would say with fabrics, like a lot of it too is what you feel comfortable in and body types. Like a lot of people, I don't even like wearing silk a lot of the time because it does show like every single nook and cranny of your body, depending how tight the silk is. Also, I sweat like a tsunami is coming out of my armpits. So silk is kind of my arch nemesis in that sense. And I do think silk is one of those things that looks kind of better standalone because it is that like, oh, she wore a silk dress. It's like that it's almost meant to be just silk. But like I will mix velvet with jeans or I don't know, velvet with cashmere if it goes, like velvet pants in like it could be like a silk crop top. Maybe it's easier when the clothes aren't touching. If there's more space in between them, then it gives the eye more separation between the two to kind of compute them as separates but also together. Like a lot of it's how we read stuff with our eye lines too. Like if it's layering as two different, I wouldn't layer probably two different things if they were very, very clashy.
So for the people who are just learning, like just deciding, okay, I'm not going to wear sweats all the time, what are go-to fabric combos that they are like, okay, whether it's leather and cotton or some, what are the ones that like you can't go wrong if you don't have taste yet, just follow these guidelines?
Yeah, if you love sweatpants because they're comfortable, I have great news for you. I actually won't wear something uncomfortable, but a lot of times I love loose fit clothing because it is more comfortable. It lets your, whatever you've got down there, breathe a little bit better. And that's nice depending on what you're doing. So if it's about comfort for you, there are so many types of loose fit jeans and cargo pants that are either made out of cotton or polyester that are very comfortable and really breathable, but they have way more than just a jogger to say, you know, like I wear joggers, but I'm wearing joggers when I'm like, if I'm running errands and like gonna work out or I'm gonna go to bed or I'm going to the airport, like having a jogger look is really fucking cute, but it's not like an everyday look to wear. It can be. I just think if you want to step outside of it, like start with wearing clothes that are just as comfortable, but different materials. So jeans and cotton and polyester, I would say, are really comfortable, and silk, but it's expensive.
So Steph, now moving on a little bit, I know we got Patreon questions as well, similar to this, but moving on to you as my fashion icon, mine and Roxy's fashion icon, who are your fashion icons? Like, not just who, but like what magazines or websites or like what do you look at out there that inspires you or who?
Yeah, for sure. My number one pick is Rihanna. Rihanna is a fashion icon, not because everything she wears is what I would wear, but because every day she's wearing something that's a completely different genre, but still remains her. And I think that's a beautiful idea to start with. We aren't one thing. None of us are one thing. We have so many personality traits and so many interests. And so sometimes I wake up feeling like Sporty Spice, and sometimes I wake up feeling like Baby Spice, and I'm going to put on a sporty or a baby outfit. And like Rihanna does that to the nines. Like every day is a completely different Riri. And you like, she's the one who started making me think in the idea of, oh, like I get what her vibe is today. She's wearing baggy jeans, a thong with rhinestones and a sports bra and really cool Nikes. Like she's in her swag day. Like I get, and then some days she's wearing like a crystallized bodycon dress and a like crystal do-rag, and it's like fucking awesome. And then on the other side of that self-expression, David Bowie, I like the fearlessness in that fat in his fashion choices are so iconic, and so many people judged and hated what he wore, still do. And it didn't matter because he was just being David Bowie. And especially for guys, like I just feel so bad for guys. A lot of the times in society, we have stifled men's fashion in a way that is so weird. And they do it to themselves. They like make fun of each other for going outside of comfort zones. And I feel so bad because it's such an important self-expression. And I feel like David Bowie was one of those that was like, I'm just me. And it like crossed sexuality, it crossed gender, it crossed everything. And it was just him. Like, that's what fashion is. It's not about what you identify as or what you were born as, whatever. It's just what you are. And that, like, David Bowie was that. So I would say those two are like two of my faves.
Hell yeah, he's a legend. And remember, he was just visiting. But it's so true, man, what you're saying about dudes' fashion being stifled. That's why I love modern times, that a lot of dudes are wearing dresses and all kinds of weird shit, which they did do before, but they got more stupid shit for it. But it's true, like women wearing suits, right? And David Bowie was obviously did the androgynous look in a very prominent way. And he's totally one of the most inspiring.
Something about the two icons you just named, both David Bowie and Rihanna, is that it never looks like they didn't give it their all with what they're wearing, which I don't know if this is an accurate way to use this term, but I always think that they're never casual. Like even if you're in jeans or sweats, they never look casual. It never looks thrown on. How do you know what level of give a shit to look like? Like, should you always look like you handpicked and gave a shit about every single part of your outfit?
Well, that's such a good question. No, they do because they do, right? You don't have to if you don't want to. And I think that's such an important distinction. Like, some days let's take a date, for example, like your first date. I wouldn't wear something that I really, really spent so much time and consideration in my clothes, because I'm trying to say something. And what I'm trying to say is listen to the words that I'm saying more than what I'm wearing. But the words, what you're wearing, aids in what you are saying. So some days, when you just like feel like the focus shouldn't be on what you're wearing, the focus shouldn't be on what you're wearing, and you don't need to put as much focus in that. And some days where you're like, it's my birthday, I really want like everything I'm wearing to be so something I love and feel so great in. Like, it can just be special occasions, and it doesn't need to be every day. And I agree, those two like very deliberately pick things and wear things, I think, that are expressive to the utmost. And we don't have to do that. So I think like a lot of days it's about balance. Like if you're going into a job interview, for a stylist, yes, where everything on from your socks to your underwear should be fashionable, because that's what you're doing. That's what you're trying to express. But if you're going into a job interview for like, let's say Starbucks, which is great, you probably want to give them more of the idea that you're like, just there to show who you are and what kind of worker or barista you will be.
Is it possible to be overdressed?
No. I've thought about this question a lot. Okay, I will say no, but there are, I think it's like, no, but you have to respect the spaces and people you are seeing. So I think that you could wear something super awesome and something that makes you feel really sexy and still stepping outside of your comfort zone or expressing yourself to a wedding that doesn't take away from the event. So I wouldn't wear a white or light pink dress, like even if it was like the most, I know that's not like overdressing, but I feel like that's in the same family of you should like respect the space you're entering. If I visited a country that women had to be dressed more modest, I would do what that country is doing, because it's like respecting and honoring the places that you're entering. But in terms of like too fancy, I can't think of like overdressing ever. Like I don't think so. I think it's like whatever you feel like does what you want to say justice is fine. And if that's a ball gown, then like fuck it, right? Like who really cares if that's what makes you feel great? If it's not someone's like birthday party and you wear like the most beautiful ball gown of your entire life and you're like, what's up? Like I think it's just about respecting the people and places you're entering while also realizing that you can wear whatever you want in that balance.
Steph, what do you think in general about the fashion industry? Because, and we touched a little bit on, for example, fast fashion earlier, right? Which I think I just grew up with an aversion to fashion. And as an adult, I've learned to respect it as an art form. But when I was a kid, I think my mom just tried to dress me in too much pink that I kind of started hating dresses and all this shit. But also, you know, with things like fast fashion, right? Like you hear of like all of these awful things as to how the actual clothing is made, sometimes by kids in other countries and things like that, right? All the way to stupid things that are very American. You know, when I was watching things like on E and watching how catty and bitchy these hosts are judging people's fashion on the Oscars or things like that, right? It's just a wild industry that I'm not as familiar with as you. So I'm curious what you think of it.
Yeah, I think it was my ninth rule. Fuck people who judge people's fashion on a malicious and mean way. Something cannot be for you, just like a movie or book could not be your pace, but you don't have to say it's bad or ugly. Like nothing is ugly to that person. If they put it on, it might be not your thing, but it's like calling someone's face ugly, right? Beauty is such a biased belief of what our own experiences in life has accumulated to in the way we view things. So I hate people who tear people down for what they're wearing. But on the flip side of that, with fast fashion, yeah, it's a really bad industry. And it's kind of like fast food in the sense that I want to be careful the way I talk about it, because it's a lot of people can't afford nicer clothes and they want to wear clothes that they feel like are in style that they really like. And I never would want to tear someone down for getting what they can get. I think if you have the means to buy things that are locally sourced and made well, then do that. And it's like the same thing as food. Like I buy organic and a lot of times locally sourced because I'm in a place where I can. But what I'm not going to do is shame someone who can only have fast food because that's all they have right now. But I think it's being responsible once you have the knowledge and access. And there's always ways around fast fashion, right? You can, like I said, borrow your friend's clothes and you can go thrift shopping. And you can do swaps with, like, you can set up swaps in your community. I used to grow up doing that. All of the kids in school would meet at a house and bring stuff that we no longer wanted and switch clothes so that you're recycling and reusing and getting new stuff in your closet. So there's always ways around it to be creative, but never judge people for how and what they do, I would say.
Excellent answer, fashionista guru.
What is a good way to talk about fashion if you don't like it? like if you're watching the Grammys or the Oscars and there's a look that you do not vibe with and you want to say something about it, is it best to just shut your mouth or is there a way to still say I don't like something?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a way to quote one of the four agreements. One of my, I think it's the third one, which is my personal favorite, is don't take things personal. Nothing's personal. So I think that, you know, you could not like what I'm wearing and I shouldn't take that personal. And I think that's an important lesson to learn, that people can definitely not like what you're wearing or what you're saying. It's just how we express it. So I would say, like, if I didn't like something someone was wearing, I wouldn't be like, wow, that looks really fucking ugly. Or like what Julianne Rancic, I forget her name, Juliana said about Zendaya's braids or I think they were either braids or twists at the time, or locks. And she said that she looks like she smells like patchouli oil. That's racist. So like, that's like, she could be like, oh, that look kind of, the hair is kind of overpowering that beautiful dress she has on. And I wish I could have seen more of the dress, but I'm just seeing a lot of hair. Like, while I don't agree with that, because I feel like the hair was a specific choice and pick for Zendaya for that look, that's an opinion that is not based in hate and maliciousness. And I don't think she did it on purpose. I think that was a really ignorant comment. I don't really know. But I think, like, instead of using words like ugly and whatever, like, there's different ways to denote something not working. Like, when you, like, taste food that you don't like, you could easily say, I don't like how this tastes. Or if you're actually someone who's on TV or trying to be in the industry talking about fashion, you should know why it didn't taste good, right? Why it doesn't look good. Oh, that cut is this. Oh, that style is this. Like, it should have basis behind something that's separate from, oh, I just don't like this.
Just for people who love your style stuff, like anybody who's stalked your Instagram, so pretty much every person listening to this, what are your favorite stores?
My favorite stores are, I do a lot of thrift shopping on Sunset and Melrose. Second Street is my favorite place to thrift shop because it's a lot of like designer clothes that are well made. Not all designer clothes are well made, by the way. I took a textiles and fashion a few of them in college. Textiles is basically how we source the material, and some of the worst source material, like the worst quality, is from brands like Chanel and Dior and high fashion brands. So just because it's high fashion and expensive doesn't actually mean it's good quality. So just look for that when you're looking for clothes, especially through thrift stores. But I will say a lot of thrift shops have great material, great styles that are like retro iconic. Second Street is one of them that I really, really like. I am not the wealthiest person, so I do go to Zara. And if I, especially if I want to just pick up some basics, like some leather pants or a jacket for the winter or a few crop tops that they have, I think that they have like a lot of great basics that are quick to go to. I know that it's not the greatest place to go. In terms of online shopping, this is also fast fashion and we're working through that, but I'm not perfect. So some of the places I go to are Pretty Little Thing. And ASOS. ASOS, I found, I don't know if it's ASOS or ASOS, but they have pretty good selection of shoes that are not, won't break the bank, but have lasted me over a year. And for me right now with my economic position, that's great for me.
Yeah, and you wear your shoes, girl. You're a banger on the floor.
Yeah, like I really wear through shoes really like fast. So if something lasts me more than a year and costs me less than $100, that's really, really great. We do have a Patreon question. If you want to be able to ask questions, patreon.com/theworldgirls. Become a patron. We love y'all so much. Mike Joyce, this is a question from you who says, did Steph's fashion sense just come naturally to her or through trial and error? So I love this question because I think in some senses it did. I love fashion and I love style, but I will say that there's a lot of trial and error of my fashion and my style. So I and it's changed depending on my circumstance is. And I will say I'm at the height of my fashion right now because I'm also at the height of my self-love and how I feel comfortable and how I know myself and want to express myself. So in college, I was playing D1 field hockey. We didn't have a life outside of sports. So I'd be going from sports to class to sleep and eating. And a lot of my clothes were all athletic gear. And I actually hated that, but that was just like how it was because of my circumstances and where I was in my life. And I also had a lot of reconfiguring to do with myself because when you enter new spaces or new times in your life, you change. And so you have to re-ask yourself questions about what do I want to wear? How do I want to wear it? So there was a few years after college where I really was like, I don't feel good about where my style went during those years of college. And I really had to rework and go back to the basics and ask myself what I wanted to wear and how I wanted to wear it. So it's constantly evolving, but it is directly connected to how you feel about yourself, if that makes sense.
Totally.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is born like a fashion goddess. Like,
yeah, I'm still like looking at, I watch master classes on fashion and I watch all of Fashion Week, the runways, and I like to look at what I like and don't like, and then I move from there, and it's like constantly changing. But you don't have to be like me. It's one of my favorite things in life. You don't have to do all that extra work. That's like the point of this episode, is that it is what it is to you, but it's always going to be a tool for everyone, whether you like it or not. So find something that works for you and how you want to express.
Love that.
Yeah, Roxy and Darina have very different style than me, but I find them both to be extremely stylish. So they're sharing some of their style tips.
So this is the one that I just really wish that I could go back and tell little Roxy, that I don't know why it took me so long to get this. So if you are like little Roxy, please listen to me. I always thought that fitting, squeezing into a smaller size made me look smaller. I thought if I could button up the size 2, I would look like a size 2. And I would wear really uncomfortable tight clothes to try to look smaller. Joke's on me, because actually the bigger things I wear, the smaller I look. I never understood that. I think that now if I buy more comfortable size, 2 sizes too big pants or 1 size bigger, they're not tight on my waist. I look smaller. I can wear a crop with it because I don't have like my hips being mauled by buttons. Same thing with shirts. Like, I used to think that the tighter the shirt, I was really self-conscious about how large, especially when I was younger, I had larger than double D boobs. So I would try to wear really tight shirts. Otherwise I thought I would look really, really fat. And that was something that I felt like didn't show off my figure that I had or whatever it was. So I would try to do that. Now I know, like, wearing a big tee, if I'm trying to feel comfortable and look my size, that I am this size because I work really, really hard at the gym. And that's something I want to show off to people. You can show that off by not wearing something that's skin tight. You can show it off by wearing something baggy.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's such a good one. It's so true. Like, when we're little, we're like, must fit into the smallest size. That means sexy.
I remember asking my girlfriend, like, what size jeans you wear? Like, that was a question we would ask each other. Fucking weird. And like, it doesn't matter what size you are. None of this is about me thinking that I need to be a smaller or a larger size. I love the skin I'm in. I hope whoever's listening to this loves the skin they're in. It's just about the fact that the size of your clothes has nothing to do with the size that you are. Like, if you can fit in smaller clothes, it doesn't mean anything.
Totally. It's so funny, Roxy, because one of my notes was literally the right size is so important. And for some reason, when we're younger, we don't know these things. Also, every store has different things too. Like, what's a small in one store is a 4 or a 6 in another store. It's a 2 or a 0. And then it's very confusing depending on where you shop. That's why I have such a hard time shopping. But additional to that, all our bodies are different. And I have extremely long legs. My femurs are the longest part of my body, and it's very hard for me to find pants that don't look like, what's the word, Bermudas? Like, they don't look like, basically, they're too short for me. So I've really struggled with that for a long time. And so what I found is, basically, now I started wearing more skirts because of that. And I love it because now I don't have to just wear my horror tees with jeans that are like too tight. And I mean, after the pandemic, I don't want to wear pants again, honestly. So what I've been doing is I get like a Nightmare on Elm Street tank top that I'll wear with my long skirt that's animal pattern. And it's weird that you wouldn't think that that looked good, but I much rather look like that versus just wearing the typical like t-shirt, jeans, and tennis shoes. So that's kind of how I've changed my style from being a kid and wearing the same thing every day, but actually adding more color and things like that. Or for example, not just wearing skirts versus pants because of my long legs, but also like the shoes that I wear, I've noticed matter, which to Steph, I'm sure it's not a surprise, but for me it is. Like if I wear really kind of chunky shoes, they look good on my feet because I have small feet. So that will look better when I'm wearing like a dress versus like really skinny sandals and things like that. So like my long ass legs with my tiny feet, I don't feel like I look like a penguin walking around anymore when I do things like that. So it really, like, you gotta like figure out what works for your body because everybody is different, literally.
Yeah, it feels like that's just a trial and error thing too.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's so true. Like I remember in college, skinny jeans and shorter boots were in. And I had massive thighs because I was playing field hockey and it looked really fucking weird on my body to wear skinny jeans with the shorter combat boots. Like just so weird. I can't describe it. And we all have some pairing that looks weird on our bodies. And while you can wear it, if you feel good about it, I had to release the fact that just because it's in fashion right now doesn't mean I have to wear that. It's like some things in fashion aren't going to be great for you, and that's okay. So next we have our pros and cunts, because isn't that what life is about? Always has a pro and a cunt. I'll start with the cunt. I would say the cunt is that, you know, people are always going to be haters. And so when you are beginning your style journey, you might get some looks and some comments, and to those people, you're corny, fuck you. But it does suck. And it's like learning how to not care about what people think. And that's tough. And I will say that also it costs money at first. And anything that costs money kind of sucks. It doesn't need to, especially if you can like borrow some clothes. But a lot of times it will cost some money. And it will take some time to figure out what works for you and what you want to start trying. And I know time can be annoying, especially when we have a lot of shows and other people we want to see and do. And then I would say the pros very much outweigh the cons, because the pro is that we are all creative beings that were born to create. And people think that only creative people are creative. And I think that's a fucking lie. We were literally all born to create. Whether you are a computer analyst or you're a painter, you are creating something. So know that you have that ability innately in you at birth. All of us do. So taking that power to yourself is like such a beautiful thing that you can do for yourself. The power to express through just the items that we wear in a day, I think is such a cool artistic way to do things. So I would say that's the biggest pro. All right, that wraps up our episode. Just some 9 rules to intro to style. There's a lot more that we can do different parts on, but I wanted to just get some of the most important rules out there, some of the misconceptions, so that y'all can start wearing and looking how you want to feel your best. Thanks for listening. If you want to get all the World Girl things, go to patreon.com/theworldgirls so you can watch our podcast tapings live, ask questions, see our faces, and get a bunch of great benefits while being part of the best community in the world, the World Friends. We love y'all so much. We go live on youtube.com/theworldgirls every Wednesday and Sunday night. Don't forget to follow us on social media, on Twitter and TikTok @TheWorldGirls, and on Instagram @WorldGirlsWAP. And we recently started this podcast, so please tell your friends about us. We really appreciate it. Word of mouth is the fastest and best way to spread this community. Subscribe and leave a review. We're all gonna die, so don't be a dick. And wear whatever makes you feel best. Stay wet, my friends.